and a pleasant welcome to the program County Attorney Half Hour, a Carter Center sponsored program. County Attorney Half Hour is intended to know what's on the agenda of the attorneys and how they intend to work around them. This program comes to you on Star Radio every Tuesday at 3:30 and Sunday at 5 minutes past 10. I'm Olive Samastov. Stay tuned. Welcome back and thanks for joining in. Today I have a lone discussant on the program. He's Attorney Joma Conley. He represents Bomi County. Hello, Attorney Conley, and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What are some cases you have set for this week?
Well, throughout the period of time since February 2009, the term of court, I begin to do a case, Republic of Liberia 4 on behalf of NRC, plaintiff versus Imaide Roberts, theft of property, misappropriation of interested property. And that particular case involved some amounts that was given by NRC 4 and on behalf of the, to benefit, to do some construction, carry on some projects, for on behalf of the people of Bomi County. For exactly three projects. And this amount was probably misused and diverted to unaccounted for aspect. And so I obtained an indictment, and that case has already been completed. In fact, the ruling will be on Thursday.
I want to get something clear. Is it the NRC, the Norwegian Refugee Council?
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Who's the sponsor of the program? Is it NRC wanted to do three projects for Bomi County and the money was misappropriated?
No, NRC, you know, is helping the government of Liberia. And in some instances, it gives money for county development, you know,
to a home.
Yeah, to this, you know, it rehabilitates buildings and all of that.
So who this particular money that was misappropriated was given to?
Emmanuel D. Roberts.
Emmanuel D. Roberts. Yeah. Who does he represent?
No, he was working with then NRC.
And so he was like to supervise whatever project that should have been.
No, supervise the money.
Supervise the money.
Yeah, to the individuals, the workers who was carrying on this project.
So he didn't pay the workers?
Well, not that he didn't pay. It was all accounted for. There are a lot of activities now on the payment with respect to maybe, I don't know, but it was all accounted for some amount of $59,000. And that case is now has been argued. When this has been produced, we are at the final stage and ruling will be on Thursday.
So what did Emmanuel say? Did he admit that he...
No, he definitely denied, and but overwhelming evidence showed that indeed some amounts were misappropriated.
And some were put onto the project?
Well,
or then the whole project came to a standstill?
The file, yeah. No. The project didn't stand still. It eventually ended. But amounts that were given should have been used for that intended purpose. Some were diverted. That's my aim.
So that is about finishing now.
The law on that is that if you are, in fact, in the position as a financial administrative assistant or some high position, because he was then occupying a position of financial administrative, so he had a fiduciary obligation to the institution. So in that capacity, whether if you misuse $1, you can be held as if you have used, because the rationale is that if you have the opportunity to misuse $1, then you can use $1 million.
What else is on the plate for?
Okay, we have had throughout the time, I have had several of cases also, the theft of property cases and other related cases. And these, we have had difficulty, I've had since I took over, I've had difficulty of witnesses coming to court to help us prosecute.
That seems to be a major problem.
Yeah, that is a major problem. And also getting on to the witnesses to bring them forth, because some of them are beyond the bounds, so we have to go search them. So I had about two or three cases that I had to nullify prosecute because we couldn't get the witnesses. And this case has been on and off and over a term of almost 1 year. And some people have been detained. Some people have been detained over the required period. And so we had to not the prosecute the case and let them go because the witnesses were not forthcoming. And in recent time, we also noticed that rape cases have increased. Now, this term around, I will embark on prosecuting rape cases.
Like how many, sir?
No, about 3 or 4. I even indicted one today. So, in the next term, because this term is almost over, the next term, I will have no other case but rape cases. That's what I intend to do.
So the one that you indicted today, who's involved?
It was one Mohammed Kroma. He has age 23 against a 17-year-old. And that's statutory rape. So I had that case there. I'll be presented before the grand jury.
So you talked about not getting witnesses. What do you do in this light? How do you go about it? Besides keeping the accused in jail for a certain time and then releasing them, what form of education or awareness is being put in place so as to encourage people to go to court?
Well, first of all, is that the prosecution must have evidence. That's the first thing. And the evidence, we rely on witnesses, and in some including medical reports and other things. But the basic of it is that we rely on witnesses to come and tell their incident of what happened, and based on that, the evidence will come up. So the method put in place is that we go out at the end of every term, some prosecution form is provided, and we use that to go out to in search of witnesses for our cases. Sometimes some are in the Morrell Central Prison, and since I'm in Birmingham, I have to carry them there as I've other men so that we can prosecute these cases, because we're all witnesses, we cannot proceed.
What other challenges you faced with?
Basically, you know, the Ministry of Justice has been declining respect to providing vehicles. And that is one of the major challenges, because look, we are searching for evidence, and in the absence of evidence, we can't proceed. So imagine an incident taking place like recently on the bar, somewhere behind a bar, or somewhere far off in one of these towns, villages. And you have the information, but the sooner the better. If you get on the internet, you have the direct evidence there that you will use along with other evidence to prosecute your case, because what we're looking for is evidence. And now by the time you get there, if you don't have a vehicle to get there to collect the evidence over there, in terms of sometimes it can be so strong, because you must have convincing evidence. So the vehicle, if we had a vehicle, we could proceed right away to see what information and evidence we can gather at the site. And this has been lacking, because the Ministry of Justice has promised us over and again for the time we're up to this present that we gave vehicles, and they have not given.
Their promise cannot be fulfilled, and still you're working with all those constraints.
Well, I'm under obligation in spite of the difficulties to serve my country. So that is why I urge the Ministry of Justice to make it all possible to have these vehicles, because we need
maybe them. The Ministry of Justice, because they see that you're doing your work, and so, well, since the vehicle is necessary, they really need it, but the work goes on.
Well, if they think that, well, we will we're not, but the fact of the matter is that because I love my country,
because all those attorneys I've talked with, they have similar complaints, the vehicle inaccessible roads and what have you, and so they cannot move about.
Exactly, just as you said. But I think that the Ministry of Justice will take this medium to know how strong, because all the county attorneys that have come to talk to you definitely speak on vehicle. Because if we don't have vehicles, we'll not be able to move around. We'll not be able to be so efficient. And that's a problem. And even when we win more cases if we have vehicles. You see, being from one end to another, you've been calling me, I have to walk from over there on Broad Street all the way from other end to be here. And so that's one of the problems. Another thing I would really like to bring to the attention of is that we want to air like this term. Want to air, you know, let people who have cases in court, let them come forth. Because these cases, the end of it is not just putting the defendant in jail. You have to go beyond that. If you don't, there's a specified period of time that the defendant must remain in jail or must remain under the authority of the court. And if in that period there's nothing done, well, they have to let him go. And this is why some of the victims say, oh, well, you sold my case, or well, you did this. But they don't understand that, oh, because you carry the court, the man is put behind bars, you have to come back to prove your case.
What does this mean for the government, where the government is prosecuting a case for rape now, a 17-year-old who is considered a minor against a 23-year-old man. And it's the government who's shouldering the responsibility of this case, meaning that to make sure that the witness appear and what have you, and make sure the case is prosecuted. And when you find it around the country, like everybody's facing this non-appearance of defendants and witnesses in court, then at the end of it, the government loses the case. What does it mean for you?
Well, it's not very, because I think the information is not just going on. The people who have the case don't just understand it, because the file of matter is that these people come to us for relief. And the government must relieve, but as provided by law, there must be evidence. And they serve as an evidence, because most of the cases we must proceed by evidence. They have to testify and let the jury know the position they stand.
And so the government is prosecuting the case and they cannot come up with the evidence, and so the defendant goes free.
Yeah, that's it.
And then doesn't it tell bad for the government that the government continues to lose cases?
No, the blame is not on the government, it's on the victim himself. Because
but the outsiders don't see it that way. They say, oh, whenever the government tries to prosecute a kid and then no sufficient, the burden of proof is lie within whatever. And it's not there. So it's the government who's been looked at that way.
Yes, they may think so. But we will begin to educate them that, look, the evidence lies within themselves. They have to come forth, because it was there that the act was committed against. The government is just prosecuting on their behalf. Another thing I really want to proceed against, is these clerical people who are in a court who begin to ask for monies before they can process
or talking issue about the criminal clerk.
Writs. Yeah, issue criminal writs. This is illegal. This is improper.
But it happens.
It happens, but one of my stern act now is to stop these people who continue, especially in the Bobbin County. Stop people who, because you add injury to injury. When a victim comes, he expects relief. These people are paid by government money. And so they have already paid. So according to our laws here, you are not supposed to pay for rate of arrest and all of that, because that has already been paid. Why are you brought there for? Why are you paid for? You are paid for that. The services to the people. So it is a victim comes, he's already injured. Then you tell him, look, you have to pay for this, or even the police asking, give me, transport. That is
you have to transport the arresting officer.
Yeah. No. That is provided for. They have vehicles and all of that. I'll proceed that. Yeah, that's a meeting. We have.
So how are you stopping it? How are you bringing that to an end?
No, I will, because I'm.
What means will you use?
Okay, what I decided. And
because sometimes, all of the time, you won't be there.
Yeah.
So the clerk of court will be there, and you will request for such an amount, and then if you don't give it, then your case won't be handled.
No, what I decided, I've had a meeting with them already from Bobbin. I told them that, look, you are not supposed to charge. So since you are not supposed to charge, give me copies of this writ of arrest. I will go and photocopy them in bonus, because when you come, you just issue. And then that's why I decided to do.
Today you are in Monroeville. Why are you here?
No, I'm here because I have a few cases, and also some matter with respect to my correction officers, two of my correction officers.
What happened to them?
Okay, joined on Friday, I was in court when one J. Savannah's Sharp, who is the head of the prison in Topmanburg, came to me at the court and told me that, look, there were some few prisoners who were planning to escape, and one of them wanted to hang himself. So I said, why would that be? So he told me the people have been long in prison and wanted to go. Well, I said, I just made an assignment on those particular people. So I don't see any need, because he's always coming advocating for the people, and to the expert, he's in the habit of releasing these people here. So this time around, he came to me on Friday and told me that these people wanted to, and sure enough, by Saturday we heard that two had escaped and were charged for various crimes. One, Daniel Pay, charged for rape, and another one called Joseph Bala, charged for burglary. He was already convicted and sentenced. So, and other.
But why would he release a prisoner?
But this is why. This is why I ordered that.
Does he have the authority to release prisoner?
No. But this tells us that he had. This tells me that he had received some benefit from out there. Now, this is not in the interest of justice, and this is tries to discourage prosecution. So I ordered the arrest of the two officers, correction officers involved, and I'll prosecute them. I filed to prosecute them because I wanted to be...
when did you order the arrest?
I ordered the arrest this morning. And by tomorrow, I'll make sure that we begin to process them. I want this to serve as a, because this is not only in Tuckmanburg. This is in other places. So people will know that correction officers, even though they are part of the Ministry of Justice, but just as I myself can be prosecuted. That's it. Because when we begin to take that, because of the position we occupy, we can't be prosecuted and we'll go up and do them. I charge them for permitting public servants escape. And that's a provision under the law, under 12.8, well, for which you can be prosecuted. And not only that, we also found that food put into his care was also stolen. So we also managed that. So what I did is that I bought...
Who was the food intended for?
For prisoners. We also found out that some bags of rice was missing. We couldn't locate the whereabout of that rice that was allocated for these people. And time in, time out, he has had criminal records respect to the courts and other records, witnesses as well, that he was in the habit of releasing people even before I came. That's the history. And so I followed up on one instance. The circuit court took evidence on him because I proceeded against him in that case and he was found and he promised to bring somebody, but up to now he hasn't done it. When I proceeded to have him processed, you know, other people came talking, but that was it as a learner. But this time around, I would not relent because I wanted to be an example and it discourages prosecution.
Is he the only person who is engaging such?
Yes, as far as I know, because I'm dealing with him. Other people may, but I don't know. But I think that this is a good stand because once we prosecute one for such a behavior, we'll find that there's evidence, sufficient evidence to go against him. It will be an example to other people.
The program you're listening to is County Attorney Half Hour, a 30-minute package sponsored by Carter Center. It's intended to know the works of the attorneys around the country. My name is Olive Thomas. I'm your presenter. Welcome back and thanks for being there. So what's the prison facility like in your county?
Well, recently I have two. The present one, which the prisoners are in, is inconducive, it's not spacious. But the new one that has been built can host other prisoners from other counties. And you have sections for the juveniles, the women, and all of that, unlike the present one. Because the present one can only host males. They don't even have a facility for females.
So what happens if you have a female convict?
Yeah, we have several convicts.
Where are they?
No, but this is what has been I've been advocating, that we must have a cell, because these people, the females, think that because there's no cell for them and they are sent to court, they have to release. And this Savannah...
riding freedom train.
Yeah, committing crime because they don't have any place to be placed. And this is one of the problem that we have been facing. And we'll soon be moving to the new facility, but there are other things we need. And I've advocated even to the Assistant Minister for Rehabilitation that, look, we need a generator. We need a private housing facility for security, because the distance from the Tuckmanburg town to the new prison facility is far. And if anything would happen, that event would take place before police officers will all get there. So we need at least two housing facilities for, and we need all of them, like light, water. I mean, I made noise for the fence, it's already there. So we need all the facilities to safeguard that place, because what if you have political prisoners? Not all prisoners will be brought here. So some will be killed there. So we have to look at the future and see whether we have more convicts, more complicated issues of crime, so that we can be able to house them. And this is not only for Bomi County, like Bapulu and all of them, because we'll be receiving, we'll be assisting them. Keep mine also, because they don't have a prison facility. So that's my dream.
Your dream is big.
Yeah.
Huge one.
Then another, finally, the people, that in recent times, since I took over as County Attorney, I've been transporting prisoners who are in the Moray Central Prison to Bomi for prosecution. And one, there is a case where one man killed his two daughters and fought to kill the wife by chopping her, but she was saved. that case would
in
be
bombing.
Over, yeah, in bombing. Yeah. So in that case, I'm about to carry the man self to have him prosecuted because he's been there a little while. And then other cases as well.
So all your cases, so you're taking them back?
Yeah, but it's not all the case because there are some sensitive cases. For example, what happened in country? I was dismayed over police officers bringing those who were arrested here. But I understand also that those are sensitive cases, you know. They are hard at the moment and there may be some obstruction later on. So the people bring them here for a cooling off to carry them down. I'm also urging that...
Did you follow up on what happened from the country and those who were brought to Mon River? Have you visited the police station or the courts to find out? Because that's your control area.
Yes, I visited the police station, but the police said they have done some arrests and they brought the fellows here. I have not even come here to find out. But I will do that later on to see who was arrested in respect to what. That will be done later. But I even told the commander that, look, these people might not be kept here because we have a limitation. We have a time limit to prosecute these people. If for all reason these people violated some law, within the animal, because they did violate law. After 14 years of war, we should understand that we should not settle our differences. You may have right, but then you turn it around. This is what has happened to the country and boys. They have a right to claim for their amount, but not to go violently, because this is what they did. Because the new police facility that was built there was for our own interest to eradicate crime. And by them doing it, they know that they're vulnerable to crime. And I don't think that was in the right direction.
So how's your whole county? Is it vulnerable? Are people committing more crimes on a daily basis or weekly basis? Or is on a minimum scale?
Well, for now, I wouldn't say. But, you know, after a war, 14 years of war, what do you expect? There were some people who were, from the day they were born up to now, they have seen only violence. And so you expect them to act in that direction until they can be made to understand that, look, this country was one peaceful country prior to the war. So I think this is the event. Education, and so I won't say that it has gone too far, but there are some crimes being committed. And I think in process of time, people will begin to understand, especially the people of Bombing, that, look, they have to live peaceably. And if they have any grief, they have to go to the law to seek their, not settle their differences through to themselves.
Finally, let's talk about your visitation to other magisterial courts around the country, the county. How do you?
Well, I visited Gotre, and Gotre actually does not have a facility. It was hosted in a small container, and that's not well. Yeah, that's in Gotre. Now, we only have two magisterial courts, one in Bombing, one in, we need one in Swain Mecca, because that's a distance. People coming from there agree they have to come all the way in Bombing. So I'm also appealing to the representatives or the president to establish one magisterial facility right in Swain Mecca, because people, you know, who are violated victims have to come all the way either in Bombing or country. But before I go far, as previously talking about country, the country, we don't have any magisterial court there. It's hosted in a little container, and that is at the mercy of the UN
peacekeepers.
Yeah, peacekeepers. So, yeah, we don't have, we need a building constructed to be our own. And even some, because when I went there, I was so dismayed. In the container, it's so hot. You have to sweat. And this was not good. You don't even have a prison facility there. Good for, I didn't see anything there, you see.
So, what do they do with prisoners?
Most of the time, I don't even know how they keep them, because that day I went, most of the people, they process them, they have to send them to Bombing. And they should have a temporary holding cell or whatever, position. Even as a magisterial court, they should have a cell there so that they will hold people later on after the way preliminary or the cases above them to send them, because they have 15 days. The magisterial court has 15 days to process a defendant before sending for whatever or have to be sent. Some cases.
Does the one you have in Topmanburg conducive? Is it up to standards?
Well, yeah, I would say it's better than nothing. It's better than the one in Gotre, and it's better than none in Swain Mecca. So I won't complain for that, because operating, it holds all it has. The only thing is that I don't have a traffic code there. It don't have a traffic code. And another thing is that most of the traffic codes and cases that go over there, we have complained to the judge that we don't see them, because some of them are over his trial jurisdiction. and people, there are cases that come over there where people die, and people want to seek some compensation. He keeps them. He don't even, there's not one piece of case on the docket there. So I related that to the church, and he and I had a talk over it, that look, cases, you know, cases that are not, because I can be in a civil and at the same time there, I have a citizen solicitor who is incompetent. I'm looking for another citizen solicitor, because if I had a strong citizen committee, he would point out these defaults. So one of my email is that by this token, when you're airing, I hope he's listening, the traffic judge is listening, to transport cases, to transfer cases that he knows he has no jurisdiction over to the tribe, because he does not have settlement jurisdiction. And when you understand that, because cases of some accidents take place, the people are not insured, and the victim just have to live later. Like a recent case I had on the highway, a man was knocked down, and I was not told until maybe three, 4 days to brought the body here. The police took the body and brought it. The police brought the body here. I didn't know anything, carrying him to Bidel and funeral. Now, later on, it choked them, because they had to bury this body, and then they had to relate to me. So when they came, the first thing I did, I grabbed the vehicle and the driver and locked him up. And I told them to go and make the announcement over for 1 week to make sure in Fever Dallas, Red Star Radio, and all the different medias. And then if at all nothing happened, but since they went, since after that, I've even begun to tell the traffic police officer that I wanted to see them. Since they left, they have not come back. So what if the parents, the parents?
So it's like the relatives are not aware?
The relatives are not aware. We could have not kept the body. But there's a process to follow where the relatives are not. Now, that process has not been completed, because day after the burial, they should have come back to the court so we can complete the process. You see, that has not been done too. So I think, not to embarrass government, we are seeking the rearrest of these people. And people begin to say I'm a bad man because I'm hard to talk to. Well, it's not that I'm hard to talk to. I just want things done correctly.
So how do you find working there? Is that your county of origin?
No, it's a real, yeah, it's a challenge. I'm from Clay.
Working with your own people?
Yeah, it's a challenge. But they too, they have to understand that, look, you know, I've had mercy, but equally so, there are some cases there we're not play with, and will be very stern, and they don't come to see that that's in their own interest, especially so to have a son who is a law graduate, because this is one of the prizes we're present for, especially for the Solicitor General and the Minister of Justice, that they want a law school graduate, some to some level of experience. And so they have them now. The only thing is that to provide that support as needed so that we can prosecute these cases, and the Minister of Justice will be on the upper hand.
So do you see the job as a hectic one?
The job is a hectic one. You have to divide yourself. We have to divide all the time, be between here and there. You have to do many things. Sometimes I'm in court, I have to do this, I have to do that, and so many things. So it's a challenging one, but one thing is that it helps me to practice. You are forced to practice because there's no one else that will assist you. We just need the support. Once the support is there, and also, lastly, on the payment. There's an NGO which the Minister of Justice made mention of, that they were going to be, they have been lagging the payment. Even up to now, you know, we over there, we doing our work. You know, we expect to be paid so that we will not be corrupt. Because if a man is not paid for his services, definitely he will begin to think evil. So let's not give the chance of non-payment and to be a stimulation. I know it won't be, but I'm just saying the Ministry of Justice should be conscious that when they employ somebody, we're charging people for theft of
services. Because if you do not take pay, you will look for money someplace else.
Yes, you have to live. Then you will find means to live. And there's no reason for us to find means to live when we have the Ministry of Justice backing us. So that's my point.
Okay, thank you very much for appearing on the program, County Attorney Half Hour.
Thank you very much. I hope I have an opportunity next time.
You will. Well, that's all for this week's presentation of the program County Attorney Half Hour. Today I had a lone discussion, Attorney Joma Conley of Bami County. He's been highlighting some of the difficulties he's faced with the outlying vehicle and the lack of a magisterial court in Suemeka District. He also talked about the refusal of defendants to appear in court and also witnesses as well. Well, make it a date to join me next week when I'll be featuring another attorney on the program. Thanks for being there.